It was all done within the standard operating procedures. Tom and Aki both checked it out.
Akira Sakamoto was our life support technician. Young, chubby, introspective to the point of surliness. So quiet he was almost invisible aboard the ship. I was still stunned. And the cameras exposed to vacuum? She nodded, obviously pleased with herself.
The outer hatch opened when the inner one sealed. That's why the third light is red.
Why didn't anybody tell me about this? I wasn't angry, really. Just surprised that they'd do this without at least telling me.
It was in the daily logs. Didn't you see them?
Marguerite turned the nearest swivel chair to face the port and sat in it. I took the chair next to her.
Who reads the daily reports? They're usually nothing but boring details. Tom highlighted it.
When? When was this done?
She thought a moment. The second week out. No, it was the beginning of the third week.
With an impatient shake of her head, she said,
Whenever it was, you can look it up in the log if you want the exact date.
I stared at her. She was smiling impishly. She was enjoying this. I'll fry Rodriguez's butt for this, I muttered. It was a phrase I had often heard my father growl. I never thought I'd say it myself.
Don't blame Tom.
Marguerite was suddenly distraught, concerned.
My mother okayed it. Tom was only doing what I asked, and the captain approved.
Entry in 6 minutes, came the automated announcement.
So you asked, your mother approved, and Rodriguez did the work without telling me. It's only a minor modification.
He should have told me, I insisted. Breaching the hull is not minor. He should have pointed it out to me specifically. Her roguish smile returned.
Don't take it so seriously. If Tom and my mother okayed it, there's nothing to worry about.
I knew she was right. But damn it, Rodriguez should have informed me. I'm the owner of this vessel. He should have made certain that I knew and approved. Marguerite leaned over toward me and tapped a forefinger against my chin.
Lighten up, Van. Enjoy the ride.
I looked into her eyes. They were shining like polished onyx. Suddenly, I leaned toward her, and reaching a hand behind the nape of her neck, I pulled her to me and kissed her firmly on the lips. She pushed away, her eyes flashing now, startled, almost angry.
Now wait a minute, she said.
I slid back in my chair. You're awfully attractive, you know. She glared at me.
Just because my mother's letting Tom sleep with her is no reason for you to think you can get me into your bed.
I felt as if someone had whacked me with a hammer.
What? What did you say? You heard me.
Rodriguez and your mother? The indignation in her eyes cooled a bit.
You mean you didn't know about them?
No.
They're sleeping together. I thought everyone on board knew it.
I didn't. My voice sounded like a little boy's squeak, even to myself. Marguerite nodded, and I saw in her expression some of the bitterness her mother exuded constantly.
Ever since we left Earth orbit, it's my mother's way of solving personnel problems.
Entry in 5 minutes.
We'd better strap in, Marguerite said.
Wait, I said. You're telling me that your mother is sleeping with Rodriguez to smooth over the fact that she's captain and he's only second in command?
Marguerite did not reply. She concentrated on buckling the seat harness over her shoulders.
Well, I demanded, is that what you're saying?
I shouldn't have mentioned it, she said. I've shocked you.
I'm not shocked.
She looked at me for a long moment, her expression unfathomable. At last she said, No, I can see that you're not shocked.
I'm accustomed to men and women enjoying sex together, I told her.
Yes, of course you are.
Then a new thought struck me.
You're angry at your mother, is that it? I'm not angry. I'm not shocked. I'm not even surprised. The only thing that amazes me is that you can live in this crowded little sardine can for week after week and not have the faintest inkling of what's going on.
I had to admit to myself that she was right. I'd been like a sleepwalker, or rather like a clown, going through the motions of being the owner, the man in charge. All these things happening, and I hadn't the slightest clue. I sagged back in my padded chair, feeling numb and stupid. I started fumbling with my safety harness. My fingers felt thick, clumsy. I couldn't take my eyes off Marguerite, wondering. Wondering. She looked back at me, straight into my eyes.
I'm not like my mother, Van.
I may be her clone, but I'm nothing like her. Don't ever forget that.
Entry in 4 minutes.
Entry. Orbiting Venus's hot, thick atmosphere at slightly more than 7 kilometers per second, Hesperus fired its retro rockets at precisely the millisecond called for in the entry program. Strapped into the chair in the observation blister, I felt the ship flinch like a speeding car when the driver taps the brake slightly. I leaned forward as far as the safety harness would allow. Through the forward-angled port, I could see the rim of the big heat shield, and beyond it, the smooth saffron clouds that completely shrouded the planet. Except the clouds were no longer smooth. There were rifts here and there, long streamers floating above the main cloud deck, patterns of billows like waves rolling across a deep, deep sea. Marguerite was turned toward the port also, so I could not see her full face, only a three-quarter profile. She seemed intent, her hands gripping the arms of her chair. Not white-knuckled, not frightened, but certainly not relaxed either. Me, I was clutching the arms of my chair so hard my nails were going to leave permanent indentations in the plastic. Was I frightened? I don't know. I was excited, taut as the buckyball cable that had connected us to the old Truax. I was breathing hard, I remember, but I don't recall any snakes twisting in my gut. Something bright flared across the rim of the heat shield, and I suddenly wished I were up on the bridge where I could see the instruments and understand what was happening. There was an empty chair up there. I should have demanded that I sit in it through the entry flight. The ship shuddered. Not violently, but enough to notice. More than enough. The entire rim of the heat shield was glowing now, and streamers of hot gas flashed past. The ride started to get bumpy. "Approaching maximum G-forces," Duchamp's voice called out over the intercom speaker in the overhead.
"Max G, check,"
Rodriguez replied from his position up in the nose. It was really bumpy now. I was being rattled back and forth in my chair, happy to have the harness holding me firmly.
"Maximum aerodynamic pressure," Duchamp said. "Temperature in the forward section exceeding max calculated."
Rodriguez's voice was calm, but his words sent a current of electricity through me. "The calculations have an enormous safety factor in them," I tried to reassure myself. "It would have been easier if the ship didn't feel as if it were trying to shake itself apart." I couldn't see a thing through the port now. Just a solid sheet of blazing hot gases, like looking into a furnace. I squeezed my eyes down to slits while the battering, rattling ride went on. My vision blurred. I closed my eyes entirely for a moment. When I opened them cautiously, I could see fairly well again, although the ship was still shuddering violently. Marguerite hadn't moved since the entry began. She was still staring fixedly ahead. I wondered if her camera was getting anything or if the incandescent heat of our entry into the atmosphere had fried its lens. The ride began to smooth out a bit. It was still bumpier than anything I had ever experienced before, but at least now I could lean my head back against the padded headrest and not have it bounce so hard it felt like I was being pummeled by a karate champion. Marguerite turned slightly and smiled at me. A pale smile, I thought, but it made me smile back at her.
"Nothing to it," I said, trying to sound brave. It came out more like a whimper.
"I think the worst is over," she said. Just then there was an enormous jolt and an explosion that would have made me leap out of my chair if I weren't strapped in. It took just a flash of a second to realize that it was the explosive bolts jettisoning the heat shield, but in that flash of a second I must have pumped my entire lifetime supply of adrenaline into my blood. I came very close to wetting myself. My bladder felt painfully full.
"We're going into the clouds," Marguerite said happily. "Deceleration on the tick," Duchamp's voice rang out. "Heat shield jettison complete,"
Rodriguez replied.
"Now we're a blimp."
I threw a smile to Marguerite and popped the latch on my safety harness. The instant I stood up, though, Hesperus shuddered, lurched, swung around crazily, and accelerated so hard I was slammed right back into my chair. The super-rotation. The solid body of the planet may turn very slowly, but Venus's upper atmosphere, blast-heated by the sun, develops winds of 200 kilometers per hour and more that rush around the entire planet in a few days. In a way, they're like the jet streams on Earth, only bigger and more powerful. Our lighter-than-air vessel was in the grip of those winds, zooming along like a leaf